Welcome back to Create Your Own Myths. I'm Nicole Washington.
I'm Agni Bodu.
And this is episode 5. Hey, hi, hey. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, it is. By the way, Nicole's wearing some fine-ass glasses. I am just saying.
So excited about these freaking glasses.
They look really good.
So I have been wanting these glasses forever. They're Eliza Johnson, who is Magic Johnson's daughter. Yeah. And I've been talking about them forever. And quick manifestation story. So these were on my manifestation list. I don't remember when I put them on. But the way that I do it is that I put it on my list and then I let it go. Mm-hmm. And I had thought about buying them a couple of times when I had the money to do it, but yeah. I was like, it just felt like, no, it's not I haven't time. Manifested it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't ask for these for a birthday present. And it was so crazy because my birthday was on October 11th, last Friday. And
what?
Nick had given me a couple of gifts, but he was like, there's one more in the mail. And I was like, okay. And I did not at all think it was going to be these glasses.
Shout out to Nick.
And so on Tuesday, I had therapy and I had this amazing, deep, cathartic session mm-hmm. that just felt like I released so much old stuff. Mm-hmm. And then right after therapy, Nick was walking from the mailbox with a package, and it was these glasses.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know.
That's awesome.
So I love that they came into my life like that.
Yeah, that's perfect. It's like a gift for having a good session.
Yeah. It's always and a that's good gift. Kind of how my manifestations come through, is there's always some kind of deep release
nice.
That happens
before
the manifestation. And it's always like a process. It's, you know, my manifestations come, like I'll put something on my list mm-hmm. and then I have to let it go because I can't like be thinking like, oh, I want this.
Right.
Like it's usually like, okay, it'll be like in the air and then I'll heal a bunch of stuff and it'll be like the last round of like the healing. And this big release will come and then the manifestation will come through.
Nice. So you just put it out there and you leave it.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. And sometimes it'll come like maybe in a couple months and sometimes it's like a year. Mm. And there's still some manifestations that I'm waiting on that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be patient. And when the right time comes, it will happen.
Word.
Which is interesting because that also is kind of similar to what we wanted to talk about.
Yes,
today,
it
right?
is. Yes, very much so.
Before we get into that, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm still here. It's the full moon, so I feel a lot. It's been like an emotional roller coaster, these eclipses and having a wedding and all that stuff. So I feel like everything is coming to a culmination with this full moon. Mm. And the next few months will hopefully be just like, working and being in line with the work that I'm doing. So
yeah,
hopefully that's what it is. If not, I'm here for more lessons. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Well, the lesson's going to come, baby girl.
No matter what.
All right. So.
This is my 33rd year of life. And I'm still like, oh, okay. I mean, am I done yet? No, you're not. You're not done. I don't think you are ever done, to be honest.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I think it's a process until the end.
Yeah. I think you even like. Once we are done with this lifetime, we leave with like, that's like our karma for the next lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, all right, whatever wisdom we weren't able to acquire in this lifetime, that's kind of what we work on.
Pushed over to the next.
The next life. If, you know,
no, we do take, lifetime. I think we take some karma with us, to be honest, like in our next lifetime.
Yeah.
Because there's like, you know, there's karma and then there's like dharma where it's like, whatever you did do in your past life, like there is spillover.
Yeah.
You may not remember it, which is you're not meant to, but I do believe that like each life is, you know, respective to the one before it.
Yeah.
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 So All right. So today's topic we said would be how healing yourself allows the universe or the higher power that you believe in to present you with opportunities and ideas that will actually help you move forward and help your personality, like your true personality.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I had felt as a kid, I was always very shy as a kid. I don't know if that's because I was an only child or, what played into different factors, but I was always very shy. I do like to be social. Mm-hmm. I do like to have friends. That's not what I was saying, but I also do think that my shyness came from the trauma that I absorbed, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And as I healed myself, I realized, and as I learned to regulate my nervous system the way I wanted to without hurting myself, I realized that my personality is like coming out almost. You know, parts of me where I could, there was a time where, like, you know how kids have like a warm-up period and you meet a kid and they take a while to like come near you say hi and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like as an adult, I had that period, you know, where I was like, oh my God, I don't know this person. Like, I'm not going to talk to them too much. Or I was very reserved. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also like the people pleaser in me, where I wanted people to see me a certain way.
Yeah.
But healing myself and allowing myself to feel all of the emotions that I didn't allow myself to feel as a kid, I realized that my personality is different than what it was as a child and what people labeled me as, or what, you know, elders labeled me as.
Yeah.
But I also saw that the more I healed myself, the more opportunities presented where I actually wanted to do them. I was actually excited to go forward with them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, there was a time in my life where it was like, okay, I need to make money because I need to survive. And now it's like, I need to make money because I want to thrive.
Yeah.
So I think there's like a difference. But how do you feel about that, about healing yourself?
Oh my God, there's so many different layers to that and so many things that came up as you were talking. I also was shy when I was young, and it was also because a lot of the trauma that I experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought that comes to mind is how we are energy. And if you think about it, as you heal yourself, your energy changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ways in which you interact with the world around you is going to change. And the way that people feel you, sense you, is mm-hmm. also going to change.
Yeah.
And so I think about like when I was in college and I had these dreams of doing cool art stuff and being in fashion. And in college, I hadn't done a lot of healing work. I still was carrying around a lot of trauma. And so I really didn't get a lot of opportunities to do the things that I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also because I wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about when I was in college, the thought of receiving those opportunities actually frightened me, because I would feel like if I, you know, got this really cool job, I wouldn't know how to be, I wouldn't know how to say, I just felt like I felt like I wasn't worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started to heal myself over the years, I started to get a lot more opportunities in life. And it was really amazing, because the opportunities that I would receive were aligned with who I was,
mm-hmm.
and what I wanted to bring into this life. Like, I remember when I graduated from School of Visual Arts with my master's,
mm-hmm.
I was very much interested in doing work that was about empowering women and girls and bold energy. And a lot of that was because I didn't know how to access that kind of energy when I was young.
Okay.
I was very shy, and I felt like I didn't really know how to stand up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I feel like I'm kind of rambling now, but basically the more that I heal myself, not only do I get really exciting opportunities in life, but they are aligned with the kind of person that I am.
That's awesome.
My truth and my authenticity.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I like that. That was really well put. I have a question. Did you see a change in your art as you healed yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting because when I first started making art professionally, like when I graduated from School of Visual Arts, my art was very bold, very aggressive in a certain way. Like the paint strokes were really aggressive. And whenever I would take photos, it was always like the subject looking directly at you, kind of like, don't fuck with me. And I feel like I created images like that because that was the energy that I wanted when I was young. Okay. I wanted to be able to protect myself. I wanted to be able to speak up boldly. And so I kind of created what I needed. And then there came a time where I really didn't need that energy anymore because I had it, I had explored it, and it just wasn't something that I needed. And so so my art became a lot softer. And then also I started to really connect with nature more. And so my art became, a lot more, I think, spiritual. I started to use the elements in my art. And it's actually really interesting because what I'm noticing now is that it's not that I don't need my spirituality because it's always going to be with me, but my art doesn't reflect that as much anymore in this moment. I find myself now being much more interested in fashion and style and feeling like I don't have to go as deep as I did. I used to feel like I needed to dig so deep into the depths of myself and put that on canvas. And I feel like now it's gonna be in my work no matter what I do because I've gone through those transformations. And everything that I have been through is with me. And so now I feel like I'm allowing myself to be a little bit lighter and explore things that I feel like are just fun. And so I'm excited to see where that takes me.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
That sounds fun. I'm excited.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I have noticed throughout my healing journey is how I approach problems, whether it's at work or whether it's at home or whether it's just with people. I feel like I'm able to handle something much simpler, I want to say. Like the process of assessing a problem is much simpler for me now.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially at work, there was a time where I was like, oh, I'm a go-getter. Like I'm going to throw if I don't throw everything that I have into this, then this isn't worth it. And as I healed myself and I'm still healing myself, I'm realizing that it's not about throwing everything that I have. It's about putting in what I believe I need to put in, not destroying myself. Like that's not an accomplishment.
Yes.
And learning that was a part of my healing journey.
Yes. It's like an adjustment because it's like you almost have to go too far in the direction to kind of see like, okay, where is this taking me? How does this feel? And then you realize like, oh, I want to do good work and I want to do quality work, but I don't have to sacrifice my health and my body to do that kind of work. And so the journey is kind of learning how to set up boundaries, how to communicate, and how to rest, really. Yeah.
And that in the process of that, I realized that when I did destroy myself, I didn't even get the results I wanted. It's crazy how like you're not even getting what you need out of it. And yet, and I believe that society has programmed the generation before us and the generation before that to believe that you need to destroy yourself to make something worthy.
Yeah.
And instead of focusing on the fact that you can just heal and actually put what you need into it and not everything you have is so underrated.
That's so interesting because you know what that makes me think of is how we have our own personal healing journeys, but this universe also has its healing journey,
Oh,
right? So
yes.
it's like,
Yes.
it makes me think that, okay, if you think about we, you know, when humans first evolved, we really had this survival mindset
Of
because we
course.
were in the wild. We didn't have, the security that we do now. And so it was almost like we were living in fight or flight mode. And then we, you know, got ourselves to a place where we really built technology to make ourselves very comfortable. But also like technology was like really exciting. And it was like, oh, okay, we can do this. We can build, we can build, we can create. And I think what happened was we were on this mission of building and creating and expanding more and more and more. And what is happening is we're able to see like it is not helpful to the Mother Nature.
No.
It is not helpful to humans
No.
at all. Like
No.
it used to, you know, there was a time where it was like all of this expanding was very helpful and inspiring. And it's not like we can't continue to build and expand, but we don't need to do it at the rate that we're doing it.
No, not at all.
We need to slow down a bit, actually.
Yes,
Like
agreed.
sometimes I think about people that when they start a company, it's like the instinct is like, okay, now we need to open up another business, and now we need to open up another business, and now we need to expand, and we need to be in other countries. And I don't know the ins and outs of running like a brick and mortar business, so I can't fully say, but my intuition says to me, well, do you actually need to do that? What happens if you open a business and you just have one, or you just make enough money where you're comfortable and you don't need to necessarily expand and aspire to become a millionaire or a billionaire.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I've seen that pattern of like where great ideas are turned into businesses, and the individual or the group of individuals who are behind that idea, they'll keep pushing, right? And then you'll come in with like, somebody will throw a ton of money behind it. And at that point, they're like, oh, we're gonna open this one. We're gonna open that one. We're gonna open this one. It's almost like here, I think the restaurant business is the best analogy for it, where you open, and I mean, my husband and I have seen it multiple times, where it's just one restaurant and it's just one chef, right? And they are running a beautiful, flourishing restaurant. And then all of a sudden, a company or a group, they come in and they're like, wow, this is great. Let's franchise it, or let's, double it, or let's make it really, expensive. And at that point, the people who are actually going to that restaurant are not going anymore. And it's a whole different, demographic. It's a whole different, and at that point, it's like, is that restaurant still what it was? And the person behind that, like, there's so many people who now have lost creative control. And that creative control, when it's gone from the original idea, is the idea the same idea anymore? And now we've graduated to like this whole concept of just making money. Like it's centered around making money.
And making money is only a part of it. Like
Exactly.
making money is kind of like the end result, but the drive should be like the creativity, the
Yes,
fulfillment.
the community.
Yeah, the
Yeah,
community.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think that when it comes to healing for me, a lot of it is about strengthening my intuition and learning when I've gone too far,
Yeah,
or
yeah.
when this is not the right decision, or when I need to rest. Because when I was younger, I used to do things without intention.
Okay.
And so it was a lot easier for me to be on a path of doing something just because others are doing it,
Yeah,
or just
yeah,
because this is what society tells you
This is
should
what's
be
right.
doing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
And then as I got older and I started to really cultivate and strengthen my intuition, it's not about the outside so much anymore. It's about the inside voice that's like, you know what? everyone's doing this, mm-hmm. but I actually think the best way for me to do it is this different way.
Yes.
And yes. it might be that, oh, I'm making less money than the other person, mm-hmm. but maybe my life is much more fulfilling and I enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. Like, there's a sense of like chasing the money that determines success.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more you heal and the more you feel the emotions that you're supposed to be feeling, you realize that money is great, you know, but right. there is a sense of, if I make money doing something that I don't even want, I'm doing because somebody else or everyone else said I'd be good at, right?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Like, where is that self-fulfillment? And that's where I'm getting at. Like, more than self-fulfillment, it's financial fulfillment.
Yes.
And it's like, but again, that like takes us back to society and society putting the idea of, if you're not putting everything in and doing the most you can financially, then whatever you're doing is not even worth it.
Yes. Yes. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about. The topic is how when you heal yourself, your opportunities change. And I think mm-hmm. that is on an individual and a collective basis.
Yes.
And I think that, what was I going to say? When you heal yourself, the opportunities change because what you value changes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's perfectly put. And like, another aspect of healing yourself is, I have seen that in the past when I wasn't, you know, focused on healing and I was just focused on whether it was school or jobs or, you know, who looks the best or whatever, I attracted friends that weren't good for me.
Yeah.
They were, you know, I was taken advantage of a lot as a 20-year-old, I want to say, in my 20s. Uh-huh. And the older I got, honestly, on one thing on my manifestation list post-COVID was, I just want women friends who just want to grow. I don't want to compete with them. I don't want to talk about our families even. I just want to grow. Mm-hmm. I just want to find, and like, after I put it out there, it started happening. You know, I met you, I met other women that are just beautiful human beings. And that was also because I started healing myself.
Yeah.
I started making the effort to understand again why the trauma was making me so angry or so like survive or die kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And the healing brought better friends. I mean, not better friends, but more grounded friends. They yeah. brought a more grounded community to me. And yeah, obviously you still interact with people that are not healed, right? But even those people notice that yeah, you're different.
Exactly.
They notice yeah. it. And
yep.
they point it out. Like, I, during my wedding, a close relative of mine pointed out that the way I reacted to my elders back in the day, 12, 10 years ago, was very different to the way I reacted then. Mm. And I was very proud of that statement because I realized that my healing was working.
Yeah.
My grounding was working. My meditation was working. Everything I was doing to heal myself, whether that was going to therapy or going and being out in nature or going hiking with my husband, all of those things were collectively healing me, and I was pulling out my real personality.
Yeah.
I'm still in the process.
Well, we're yeah. all in the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of want to talk about that a little bit because I think for some people, when we talk about things like this, when we talk about like healing ourselves, expanding, manifesting, sometimes it can sound like it's some kind of like sorcery. And yeah. I do believe in magic, but I also believe that it's magic is also practical too. Mm-hmm. And so healing yourself can start with something just as simple as listening to your emotions. So the way that I do that is during the day, I intentionally take time out to experience what I'm feeling. And the reason I do that is because I noticed at, when I don't do that, what will happen is at the end of the night, I will get into bed and then all of a sudden I will worry about 10 million things. And that's because during the day, I was collecting all of this energy that I wasn't aware of. Like sometimes you're scrolling and you hear about some kind of war, or you see somebody's aunt is having a really hard time and it has just launched a GoFundMe, or maybe you had a hard conversation with a family member. And even when you stop scrolling or you end that conversation, that energy is still with you, and you need to like intentionally take a deep breath and release that energy, and really maybe even take a 5 more minutes to process, like, how did this make me feel? Oh, this is not something that I need to carry, or this is something that I need to have a longer conversation with somebody on at a later time. And so what that does is that gives you more space so that at the end of the night, you're not collecting all of this energy and it's just like bottled up within you, because at the end of the night is not the time to try to process all of that energy because you want to sleep.
You want to wind down.
Yeah, you want to wind down, you want to sleep, you know? So, and that's also like when you say wind down, sometimes it's best to wind down 2 hours before bed so that you can do that releasing of energy so you don't take it with you into your bed. And small things like that is what starts a healing process. And so I also want to say that sometimes when you start checking in with yourself, you know, if you've, especially if you've experienced deeper trauma in your childhood, what will happen is that your body will start to recognize, like, oh, you're starting to relax more. And so more things will come up that have been deeply embedded within you.
So
And
true.
so what will happen is maybe you'll start having anxiety attacks when you didn't have anxiety attacks in the past. And it's not because you're doing something bad, it's because you are starting to become more aware of yourself. And so then that means that you may need to see a therapist. You may need help, you know?
External help.
Yeah, external help. And we all need external help. And
Agreed.
external help can be like a friend, a family member that you talk to. But I do think that when you have deeper issues, it's good to have a therapist because your friends can't really be your therapist, you know?
No,
Your
no.
friends can be there for you when they have the capacity, not,
Agreed.
you know, at any time of the
Or in
day.
moments' notice.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I have experience with even just being biased towards the person that's telling you about their
Of
struggles, right?
course, yeah.
And how is that fair to the situation that they're in? Like, how are you supposed to give them good advice when you are biased to them or to something else even? And I feel like therapy allows neutrality to come into the picture, and that's really important when dealing with such intense emotions.
Yeah. And also, therapy is having someone there to hear you out, to witness, and to think through these issues with. That someone that is absolutely not going to judge you and is there to help you to process all that you're thinking about, all that you've been through. Like the other day, I was the one of the reasons why my session was so cathartic is that I started to experience the feelings that I was talking about in my therapy sessions. And it started to come become overwhelming, but it was actually great because I was having this intense emotional moment in therapy. And so we could process it right then and there
That's amazing.
instead of like having the emotional moment on your own and then coming back
And
into
talking about
therapy
it.
to talk about it. So that was really great.
That's beautiful.
But I just wanted to bring that up because it's not something that some people have and other people's don't, you know? It's not like healing is for some people and healing is for others. No, it's just that you have to take some time and having some intention. But once you start that process, honestly, it opens up this door that will provide you with more opportunities to heal yourself.
Exactly.
And to meet other people that are on this similar journey.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I will say that my first act of healing, and it wasn't therapy, it was, I told myself that every morning I was going to get up and make myself a ginger lemon tea. That's it. Mm. I was just going to wake up and do that for myself. And I was going to be there and drink that tea on my own for the 4 to 5 minutes that it took for me to set myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to journaling, which led to therapy,
mm-hmm.
which led to having joining a community where people wanted the same out of their healing.
Yeah.
Which is why I totally understand what you mean by when people may not even know how they want to heal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And that's another thing that I think is important, is you can heal any way you want.
Yeah.
The idea of healing is very universal. It's very expandable. There are many different ways to heal. Even if just going for a walk is healing.
Yeah.
It may not seem like that to you, but I know so many elderly who just take a walk every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a ritual that they have that keeps them going. Yep. It's insane. I'm actually in awe at how many of them do it. And it's just that simple action that keeps them so grounded.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and I also like thought about how healing can also be like if you like to cook,
mm-hmm.
or if you like to play a sport, but you have to remember that in the process, emotions may come up that you need to just feel.
Yeah.
And I did want to say that I learned recently, and I don't know if this is true, but it was a study that said that it takes 90 seconds to feel the emotion that you're feeling in that moment.
Mm.
So let's say you feel a certain amount of sadness in that moment.
Yeah.
It takes 90 seconds for you to just be in it, as yes. opposed to just pushing it down and yes. not thinking about it.
Yep.
So if you can take those 90 seconds and just say, okay, I'm just going to be here with myself with this moment for 90 seconds, you can probably get through that moment a lot easier and a lot more regulated than you realize.
Yes, because you know what happens is that you survive the emotion.
Mm-hmm,
and the exactly. next time that emotion comes up, it feels less intense because your body exactly. has learned, oh, this is not something that I need to be scared of. This is something that we can survive.
Exactly.
And so it's almost like when you go to the gym, mm-hmm. you don't just go and like jump into the hardest thing.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, no, no. Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
just go and do the same workout as somebody that's been going to the gym for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start really small and you train your body to work its way up to the next level.
Yes.
That's very similar to what healing is like. You start really small
mm-hmm.
and then your body learns that, oh, this is something that we can handle. Okay, let's handle a little more. That is why people always talk about when you heal yourself, it's a journey, because as soon as you become comfortable
mm-hmm.
with, you know, these set of emotions, there's another layer of emotions that are going to present themselves, you know, and it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper, but it's not as scary each time. It's not like you hit that rock bottom each time.
Yep.
And also, you know, hopefully the more that you heal, the less scared that you are of hitting a rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to say that as like that's something that we all look forward to and that we all are just carelessly are out here like thinking like, oh, I'll just hit a rock bottom. But mm-hmm. it's like you start to realize like I can handle myself in life.
Yeah.
And that the yeah. most challenging thing can come my way and I will be able to handle that.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. I'm taking a break on CrossFit, but mm-hmm. You know that I was going regularly at one point.
Yeah.
And so about like 3 months into my CrossFit journey, we were doing this ridiculous cardio exercise of rowing. I mean, I hate rowing, but we were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an intenser workout. So it got so intense that I started to cry. Mm. Like mid row, I was crying. And the number of times I've been told as a woman not to cry in public is insane.
Really?
I mean, by different people, women, men, it's crazy. But that's just their own experiences telling me not to cry, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm crying. I am, oh my God, it is so bad. And, you know, coach calls time. I get off the rower and I'm in child pose. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in child pose. My head is down and I am just crying. And my husband came over and he whispered, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes, I need a minute." And for the first time, I just let the emotion wash over me. Mm. And it had taken so long for that emotion, whatever it was, something was stuck there to come out. Mm. And I stood up and my face was drenched with sweat and tears. And I had friends come over and ask if I was okay. And they were like, you know, rubbing my back. And it was, you know, it's a beautiful community. And I remember standing up feeling like an anvil had been lifted off my chest. Mm. And I just remember thinking, if I just had felt these emotions when they actually occurred, it wouldn't have been this intense.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
And it took that amount of just physical exertion to pull it out. Mm. Which is why even now, as I'm feeling things, I attempt to feel them thoroughly because I don't want to ever get to that point.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong. Once I reach one threshold where I feel like I've pulled everything out, I find a new one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, there's more here, but it'll always be that way. Because as a human being, you're so complex that I feel like it's unfair if you just expect yourself to be one and done.
Yeah, that was such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. And one of the things, there's a couple of things that I thought of as you were sharing that story. One is, it's so beautiful, and I'm sure it was also very challenging, that you had this breakthrough in public.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the, that's a really big thing that keeps people back from healing, mm-hmm. because they feel like they don't want to be unhinged in public.
Exactly.
But what happens is when you have an emotional breakthrough in public, mm-hmm. most of the time people are going to understand because everyone feels emotion. Everyone exactly. has felt a very difficult emotion. Mm-hmm. And so people most often than not want to come to your support, mm-hmm. rather than mock you or something like that.
Or just stare at you.
So yeah. You having this experience also lets your body know, like, oh, if, you know, I can feel this because people will support me, you know, mm-hmm. this is actually supportive to have big emotions. So that's really cool. And then I think about how what you just said is, if you had felt this emotion earlier when it actually happened, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be this intense. And it's also because you weren't taught to.
No.
And I really love this new generation of parenting. Like, I see all of these parents online teaching their children to regulate their emotions. Mm-hmm. And so what I see that's really cool is that these kids will have, you know, these big feelings, and maybe it'll be like they dropped their toy and so they're angry because the toy fell out of their hand. Mm-hmm. But instead of their parents being like, it's not that big of a deal, and just picking it up, they're like, they're validating the feeling of like, yeah, that's really frustrating that happened, and let's feel into that, mm-hmm. and then let's move on. Yeah. And what that allows for the child to do is it allows them to witness that it's going to be okay.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Exactly. No, that
Sorry,
makes total sense.
Sorry, I'm processing
sense.
That. I'm processing
as you're saying
this,
it,
as I'm
yeah.
seeing it.
Yeah.
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 But the child knows, like, oh, first of all, one, I can have this emotion, mm-hmm. and it's okay. And two, I survived this thing. And so when it happens again, I can recognize it's not that big of a deal.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. My favorite phrase in modern parenting is use your words. I love that phrase because I truly was never told that as a kid, and I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying that when
our parents didn't have the tools.
No, not at all. I mean, my parents were always in survival mode.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like even now they are with, you know, everything, they still feel like they're in survival mode when they're not.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to get out of that mode.
Yeah.
However, when I hear a parent now saying, use your words, and they're just like waiting for the child to finish their emotion, whether it's anger, whether it's sadness, whether it's a tantrum, the amount of regulating the parent is doing in that moment also is beautiful.
Ooh, yes.
I mean, like, especially out in public when you see these moms and these kids are just losing it in like Party City or something.
Yep.
And this mom is just beautifully waiting. Like, okay, we're going to be here for a minute, but that's okay. Like, creating space for them to process is what I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
And if at any point in time that child, because I've noticed that they'll go through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the entire episode of emotions, they're sitting there speaking, whether it's just a couple words that they know or it's just they're sitting there having a simple conversation with their parent about what they felt.
Yeah.
Which is, for a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, that is beautiful.
It really is.
I mean, especially with the number of screens out there nowadays, like that's beautiful. But
and it allows them to understand themselves much better. Honestly, that's, you know, you see it in a 3 or 4-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and that's so much more than a lot of adults
can do.
I mean, you know, like sometimes, like, I just saw this video. I wish I hadn't seen it. I wish social media would stop showing like fight videos.
But once
in a while you see like this video where it's like, oh, this woman in Target lashes out on another woman, you know,
right.
It's like a Karen video.
Okay.
It's AKA Karen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're witnessing is that somebody that doesn't know how to regulate their emotions. And it's also somebody that's like, you know, probably feels entitled and all of that too.
Right.
But it's like, I feel like a lot of that comes from people feeling so uncomfortable with their emotions that they lash out on somebody else. You know,
so true.
And they're
yeah.
not having that conversation with themselves. They're not like taking a pause of like, okay, how do I feel right now? What is it that I'm actually feeling? Because I have to do that in my own life. Like, sometimes I'll feel so angry and I'll think that I'm angry at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But if I take a beat, I'm like, what am I actually angry about?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually something that has nothing to do with that person.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've like seen that in person, honestly, about just like, you know, in stores specifically, people lashing out at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And before I started my healing journey, I was like, I would always take a side.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But after, I was like, I feel sympathy for them, because whichever one is going through the worst situation, only the universe knows how they're dealing with it.
Yeah.
And for the internet to exploit it for views, it incenses me, because it's just like, why is this funny? Like, why is it funny that
I know
grown women or grown men do not even have a chance to know how to regulate themselves
and or making entertainment out of it?
And it's just, it makes me sad.
And that's something that I feel like is unfortunate about the internet is that it allows us, or not even allows, it actually encourages us to make judgments about people very quickly by seeing like a 10-second clip, and you don't know what that person's entire life is like.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, people need to be held accountable, of course. And at the same time, it is much better for everyone in the world if people heal.
Yes.
And people cannot heal if we are making quick judgments about each other.
I completely agree with you. I will say, though, the more I heal, the less judgmental I'm becoming.
Yeah.
I think I could have been just as judgmental as the next person before I started this journey. And
once
I started it, I am much less judgmental. I'm much more willing to actually sit there and listen to you, even if it takes up my time,
yep.
than I am willing to say, okay, you're doing this because of this.
Yep.
Like, The word assumption makes me so frustrated sometimes because it's like, stop making your assumptions or your judgments if you yourself are not in a place, if you yourself are not coming from a place of healing.
That's such facts. And that is such facts because I feel like, shit, I forgot what I was gonna say. That's just facts. Yep. That's
Oh, I love
my oh
that.
my God, I don't have my words. But yeah, that's amazing. And it makes me think of back to this idea of healing and attraction. You, if you are participating in shaming others, judging others, and assuming things about others, I feel like then you're going to attract people that do the same with you.
Oh, yeah.
And
Totally agreed.
I just feel like we all need people in our lives that give us space to not be our best selves.
Yes. Oh,
Because we all
yes.
have days where we're not our best selves.
Yep.
And honestly, if we all had a camera following us around, there would be a lot to judge.
Oh,
There's
yeah.
nobody in this world that, if they had a camera following them around 24 hours a day, they would just be pleasing to everybody. You
Yeah,
know, there's nobody like that.
right.
So I just feel like, it's a journey
Oh, yeah. I
for
mean,
everybody.
it's gonna take for anyone who wants to start their healing journey, please do. It's and please, please, please be patient with yourself. Do not expect sudden changes. Do not expect miraculous epiphanies. Healing is gross. Healing is beautiful. Healing is grimy. Healing is so many things, but it's not fast. And that is one thing that everyone learns.
Oh my gosh,
Everyone learns. Please do not think, oh, I'm going to start journaling and you're going to be fixed in a month. No, you're going to start journaling and you're probably going to have years worth of journaling until you get to the point where maybe 1 month you don't want to journal because you don't have to. But it's not going to happen overnight. And I will not lie, I learned that the hard way. And I will say this, even going to therapy takes time. It could take years, depending on what you're healing or how you're healing, it will take.
Oh my God. I think I've been in therapy. So Nick and I's 10-year marriage anniversary is tomorrow.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And I'm thinking I started therapy a little bit after we got married, very quickly after we got married. I have been going to therapy for almost 10 years.
It's your therapy anniversary
Yes.
too. That's so
And
sweet.
it's so funny because there have been so many times where I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go to therapy anymore. Like, I don't know. It was like a couple years ago. I even like told my therapist, I was like, all right, I'm going to start winding down. So I'm going to start just going once a month.
Right.
Do you know I had a rock bottom episode like maybe a month later, and I had to go right back into going once a week. And then even last week, I was like, oh, maybe I'll start going once a month again because I feel like I don't need to. And then I had this huge breakthrough in therapy, and it's something that I want to explore more deeply. So I'm like, no, I'm going to keep going once a week. And sometimes you'll have those moments where you're like, oh, I just need to go like once a month and that's fine. But then don't feel bad if all of a sudden you're like, oh, I need to start going once a week
Yeah,
again
more
or more
often.
frequently because there's just so much in this life that there's so much in this life to experience, and there's a lot of heavy shit to experience. And even if you haven't had a traumatic childhood, there's a lot of changes happening in the world,
Agreed, yeah.
and it can be really difficult to process all of that.
Agreed. I mean, I don't think trauma needs to dictate therapy for sure. I believe therapy is for everyone. I also believe that there's I will say that at one point I also was like, oh, okay, like I can definitely not go anymore. Like I'm good. But no, I didn't stop going because I would look forward to it. You know, you need to look forward again, to look forward to speaking to someone who is neutral.
Yeah.
I mean, who is just completely neutral to the point that you can say what you have to say and be confident that it will never leave that moment.
Yeah.
And all of us deserve that.
And you get to deeper levels with your therapist. So it's like when you first start going to therapy, it's, you got to get to a point where you're comfortable. It's not like you're going to like spill out everything that you know about yourself to this person right away.
Right.
You have to get comfortable. And then over time, you start to have a deeper therapy experience because you're more comfortable with this person. Like, I just unlocked a new level of comfort the other day. Like I was just saying with my therapist, when I had this like really deep emotional experience in therapy with her, you know, cause it's funny, with my first couple of years in therapy, I remember I never used to cry. And I used to be like, what? That's so weird. I wonder why I'm not crying. And it wasn't like I wasn't trying to not cry.
Right. Right.
But then I realized later is like, oh, I probably just wasn't comfortable and didn't even recognize it.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And then over time, it's like, oh, you allow yourself to be more comfortable.
Yes. Oh my God. There was always this like stagnation in me until I started my therapy. And I'm realizing now that you're so right. And I feel like it takes time. I mean, sometimes you may not even stick with the same therapist.
Yeah.
You may move on.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But allowing yourself to decide is also important. Don't think that you fail just because you have to go from therapist to therapist to therapist. You haven't failed.
Yeah.
You just
need... It's hard to find a good therapist.
There's almost... We are reaching 8 billion people on this planet, right? So you need to find the therapist that works for you may take time.
Yeah.
And do not let that discourage you or anyone else around you.
And you get to have the kind of therapy experience that you want. That's something that I learned is that I used to feel like, oh, I'm expected, like there's something that my therapist expects of me each session.
Yeah.
And she would tell me like, this is your experience. So every day we talk about what you want to talk about and we go at your pace.
Yeah.
And through healing, that's something that I became more confident with, but that wasn't something that I was so confident with in the beginning.
Word. I mean, I hope that this and what we're saying helps other people, because that's the ultimate goal of this podcast, to help you guys find your way to your authentic selves. But I also know that when you start something, it can be really scary. So like Nicole said, it is your session. It's what you want to do and what you want to say. But it's also like the sad thing about, I feel like the country we live in is therapy is not cheap.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are resources out there that can help you find a good therapist, but there are also other things you can do to help regulate your nervous system if you're not ready to go into therapy yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think that at some point in time, when you do find the right person to talk to, just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
And honestly, like we were saying earlier, is like your healing journey is your journey. Like, I feel like even though I have done so much deep healing, I am no expert. I am not somebody that can tell anybody else what is best for them.
Exactly.
We all have that within ourselves, and it's something that one has to access. But the answers and the direction is within you.
Yes.
I truly feel that we are all capable of accessing our inner compass. And so, you know, us sharing our journey is just our journeys.
Yep.
And I find that the more that I listen to other people's stories, then I can see like, oh, this works for me. I can leave the rest. This works for me. I can leave the rest. And so, yeah.
There's no right way to heal. There's your way of healing. but you have to want to heal.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's what it is.
The wanting to do that.
The desire should be there, but don't let anyone tell you that you're doing it wrong. Just don't hurt yourself or others in any way at any point in time.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
That was intense, but I liked it.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being here.
Yes.
And we will see you next time.
Yep. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Happy full moon.
Happy full moon.